And we're holding Manzayan Amaralis.
Manzayan.
We started talking yesterday about Chafis involving the lungs. We talked about a couple of things. We talked about first of all that for a puncture to make it Chafis, the puncture has to be through both layers of the lung, as we define them. We talked about various cases where part of it turns a different color, or where part of it is hard, so hard that it crumbles when it crumbles with a fingernail, or different things. Some cases of which we had are kosher, and some of which are true. The last thing we talked about was we started talking about sirchus, where Rava had said that if you have a sircha between lobes of the lung, here or there, the lobes, the sections of the lung, if you have a sircha between one and the next,
is it a different color? Well,
the sirchas are not necessarily a different color. They might be. They're not necessarily. I mean, here's an example. Here's an example
of
a sircha.
Are they elevated?
No, they're not. They're like swings. What do you mean elevated? They're like swings that come off the lung and attach either to a different part of the lung or someplace else. Yeah.
Can we recap very briefly the different membranes, allotic membrane?
Okay. So as far as the I mean that's not really okay. As far as the brain, we said there are two membranes, the outer and the inner, and in modern terminology they call them the dura mater and the pia mater. In the case of the heart, we didn't mention any membranes at all. In the case of the brain, we said that there we had a machlokas aposkim, whether one does puncture without the other is enough to make the animal trace, and therefore we're in general machmir, and we say, unless maybe in a case of heft and merubah, we say that it's possible that we say that the animal trace if either one of them is punctured. In the case of the lung, we have the two membranes that we define in halacha are one is the outer surface of the air sac, the alveoli, and the other one is the pleura that's above that, the one that's attached to the chest wall we ignore for purposes of halacha. Or maybe we don't, actually. Maybe what it is maybe the two pleura together are considered one krum in halacha. I'm not sure. Whatever it is, anyway. The point is that we said the animal's treif only if both of them are punctured. Okay. So the last thing we said is that Rava had said if there's a sircha between one lobe and another one of the lung, where it's shaloi kisidron, where it's out of order, meaning like from the first one to the third one, then it will make the animal treif. And we discussed, on the other hand, he says if it's kisidron, then it's normal. So we discussed the question, why would sircha be... If it jumps over one. And so first of all, we have to deal with the question we dealt with briefly. Why is it that sircha make the animal trace in the first place? Rashi takes the view that it's because it means there was a hole there, and now this liquid came out and formed a sircha, so therefore it means there was a hole, and as I was going to say soon, a seal over a hole that formed in the lungs doesn't make it kosher. Once
so what
it's
trace, if that's the case, what difference would it make between it jumps over or it doesn't jump
that's
over?
That's part of what Tosfos asks on Rashi. That indeed is part of what Tosfos asks on Rashi. One more thing
That's true.
That's true. That's one objection to Rashi's opinion, right? The Ran, I think, talks about that Rashi might say essentially that where you have a sircha that's not considered a problem in halacha, then it means that the fact that it developed the way it did would evidently indicate that it wasn't the kind of hole that would make the animal trace in the first place. For example, we said only a hole through both membranes makes it trace. Anyway, Rashi, by the way, also mentions in this connection the question.
What is it?
One second, before we get to Tosfos, I just want to mention that Rashi also mentions over here, Rashi takes the trouble to mention over here, that if you have a case where there's a sircha between one of the lobes and the umma, which means the main body of the lung, then Rashi says that you have machlokas on that subject. Is it mutter or is it not? On the one hand, Rava is mentioning over here where you have between one una and the next, implying that maybe between an una and the umma it's no good. Between a lobe versus the umma, the main body, maybe it's no good. On the other hand, the fact of the matter is, if Rava is saying that it's from one lobe to another one next to it, then it's kosher, because Heine Revisai, that's the normal way, and it's not going to break apart, well, then logically, the same thing should be between the lobe and the umma next to it. Okay, so you have different opinions about it, broad and Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a different understanding of the whole issue behind Sirchus, which is basically, Tosfos says it's the other way around. If you have a Sircha over there, what's going to happen is that eventually the Sircha, if it's Shaloi Kisidron or whatever, then eventually it's going to tear off, and when it tears off, then it's going to tear off some of the lung with it. when it jumps over one of the owners or whatever, yeah, then the result is eventually it's going to tear off and it's going to take part along with it, and therefore the animal is going to be traced because of that. So that explains, for example, why only when it jumps over. But now in Shulchan Aruch it mentions, based on what Tosfos discusses over here, other Rishonim discuss over here, a variety of cases, some of which are kosher, some of which are not. Namely, for example, in Shulchan Aruch it brings that only the Mechaber, that Amar, I was showing it to you yesterday, bring various cases, for example, that it's really only kosher. Even the case that it's kosher is essentially only if it's from the edge of, if it's the edge of one Una to the edge of the Una next to it. But not, for example, if it's from the surface of one Una to the surface of the next, or from the tip of one to the edge of the next or whatever, then no good, because you have the same problem. That as the animal moves around or breathes or whatever, it's partially based on what Tosfos discusses over here, partially based on what other Rishonim say. You have many Rishonim. You have many Rishonim who talk about different complications in these things. There's also the Rama mentions that our minyag is Ashkenazim is the only kind of stilchus we say that are kosher where they're attached at both ends. Where they're attached at only one end is no problem, but of the kind that are attached at both ends, the only kind is where they're close to the roots of the respective owners. Like if you divide the length of the owner in half and the sircha is somewhere within that inner half, then you're okay, but otherwise not.
What?
If you measure the length of the owner, you measure the length of the space between one owner and the next, you see as a sircha within the inner half of that space or within the outer half. If it's within the inner space, then it's okay. If it's within the outer half, then not. Right. Now, with all of that, though, there is, on the other hand, a kula in this whole regard that goes all the way back to the times of the Gaon. And this goes all the way back to Rabbi Yaakov Gaon, who was one of the Gaonim in the middle of the period of the Gaonim. So you're talking about 1,200 years ago. He says that, he starts by saying that if you take the lung and you give it a good shaking and the sircha comes off, then it's not a real sircha. It's not a real sircha. It's just called it's like a spittle-like discharge, and therefore it wouldn't make the animal chase. So that leads to a whole concept that's discussed among the poskim called miuch u'mishmush. That's called squeezing and palpating and then rubbing between the fingers and whatever the sircha. Where basically the idea is that you have a number of the poskim take the view that if you're able to do that, if the sircha is thin enough and weak enough, that this miyuch u'mishmush will break it, then it means, again, that you can argue it's not a real sircha. So therefore, now...
It could be just a recent one. It's not a...
But that's the idea. In other words, then it's not, especially according to Tosfos' understanding of the problem of sirchas, that the problem with it is that when it comes off, the lung is going to come with it, part of the lung is going to come with it. Well, if it's a thin enough sircha, then therefore there won't be an issue. So there is this concept called miyuch u'mishmush. Now... Okay, well, there is that concept that the poskim have. Now, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says absolutely not. There's no such thing. No such thing as miyuch u'mishmush. Anybody who does that is feeding treifas to Jewish people. But Rama says, you know, the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber has a point. It's not necessarily such a glatter thing to do. Basically, right. However, he says the fact of the matter is it is a very widespread minhag. All these treifas we're dealing with are deraisa.
No, but neither
are any of these things. Holes in lungs or anything are not mentioned in the Torah. The only thing the Torah mentions is a bus about sort of treifa leis hachavim. So we've said there was halacha l'moshe mitzvinah that Hashem taught Moshe that there are the various 8 categories of treifas, and then they break down to these 18. So sirchus, in other words, again, according to either Rashi or Tosfos, sirchus amounts to that there's a hole in the lung, either that there's an existing hole that was covered or that there's a potential hole. So therefore, that's according to Rashi, there's an existing hole. According to Tosfos, there's a potential hole once the sircha breaks off. So therefore, in other words, according to both of them, it's included in what our Mishnah said, which ultimately goes back to the halacha of Moshe Mitzvinai, that a hole in the lung makes the animal chase. So yes, sirchus are basically deraisa. It's interesting, actually, that you mention it, because actually it's interesting that you're mentioning this question of whether it's deraisa or derabanan, because actually there's an interesting thing. The Rebosh and the Rashbat, two of the great Chachamim of Spain in the late 13, early 1400s, both of them wrote shuvas on the subject, where somebody in those times was claiming that this whole thing is only derabanan, and therefore look how hard the Chachamim made things for us, that they're making animals safe for no good reason, and both of them write in their Trovas that no, absolutely not. This whole concept is Zardaisa, and it's always a Zardaisa, Allah Mashmi Sinai, whatever. And therefore, they say, Adraba, we should be grateful to the Chachamim that they explain to us the details so that we don't end up eating meat that's safe. Okay, be that as it may, anyway. So, that I'm not, so again, the Machaber says none of this.
Not that I know of.
Okay, so anyway, so the Mechaber says no, absolutely no miyuchol mishmush, nothing to talk about. It doesn't begin to happen. The Ramah says, okay, I agree it's a little hard to find a basis for it. But the fact of the matter is it a very widespread minhag. It is accepted and it is justified by poskim of the generations before. Therefore, if a person does it, you can't say like the Beis Yosef says you're feeding tzedakah to Jewish people. There's reason to be lenient about it. So therefore it becomes the vart. Therefore, like this, that's how you have the concept of glatt versus non-glatt. Now within glatt itself, you actually have two things because so you have this concept of miyuchol mishmush that you squeeze and you palpate and whatever the thing. Achronim talk about another possibility, another way that you can see whether something is a true sircha is that you peel it off the lung very carefully, of course, and you see if afterwards the lung inflates. If it does, it means there was no hole there, or at least not through both membranes. If not, then it means it's straight.
Because
there would be a hole, right? Because it would just
but
peel.
Of course.
No. Well, that's the point. In other words, if you peel it off and the result is there's a hole left there, then it means that like Rashi said, it means there was a hole there that got covered up. Or like Tosfos said, if this sircha had come off while the animal was alive, it would have ripped the lining of the lung. Therefore, the animal would be traced. If you peel it off and then afterwards the lung you're able to inflate the lung and there are no leaks, then it means it's okay. So what you end up is with like this. You actually end up with three standards. You have non-glatt, which uses the miyuchol mishmush method. You have one type of glatt which involves peeling them off, and that can still be considered glatt, the posting day. And then you have what they call Beis Yosef glatt. Sometimes when you go to restaurants or whatever, you'll see that something is that meat or whatever is marked, you'll see in packages in supermarkets or whatever that are marked Beis Yosef glatt. That means there's no miyuchol mishmush, no peeling, no nothing. There was no sircha that would be any kind of problem. There was only the kind of sircha that was saying over here would be kosher, where, for example, it's in the inner half of the space between the lobes or whatever. So those kinds of sirchas aren't a problem in the first place. The kind of sirchas that we're talking about are where they're in a place that could potentially be a problem, but you did miyuchol mishmush, or you did peeling, and they were removed. I'm saying the Beis Yosef. No, the Beis Yosef accepts what are the Gemara. The Beis Yosef is not arguing with all Gemara. The Gemara said that there's a difference between some sirchas are okay and some are not. In fact, actually, you're right. As far as the question, what place are sirchas a problem and what are they not? In some areas of that, the Mechaber is more makel than the Rambam. For example, the surface meaning of our Gemara is only that if you have it skipping over one of the unos, is there a problem? But not, for example, if you have it going from the surface of one to the surface of the other. The Gemara doesn't mention any such thing. So therefore, for example, the Beis Yosef would say, okay, well, that's not considered a sircha. That would pass it. I don't care whether there's that sircha there. You don't have to do it. Whereas the Rambam would say it's a problem. However, if you can remove it by miyuchol mishmush or by peeling, then at least you have the animal kosher. Right. So there are certain areas of this where the Mechaber is makel, but when you find a sircha, which is a problem, then it comes out that the Mechaber is machmir.
And yet the Mechaber does make a distinction between those sirchas that are close to the edge rather than internal to the
right, world. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't make those degrees of distinction, right? But he does make a difference. He says that once you have a sircha that's in an area where it would be a problem, then no miyuchol mishmush, no nothing.
Right.
I mean, you have other areas also. Later on, we're going to talk about So we Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. As far as I know, Chabad holds like the Ramah on that. I mean, again, we do try to have glatt. So you see, nowadays, really, relatively speaking, there's not very much kosher meat that's sold as non-glatt. It's pretty much all glatt, and if they can't get glatt, then they just sell it to goyim. So because I mean, with non-glatt, there may be other things where they're not keeping to high standards or whatever. So practically speaking, we keep glatt, but we don't necessarily keep Beis Yosef glatt. That's the point. Okay. But again, there are other areas also where the Mechaber is makel on the Ramah. For example, we're going to talk about cases later also involving sirchas where you have a sircha between the lung and the chest wall. So there's a difference whether the sircha. No, we do count some of those, but there's a difference between whether the stircha goes to the muscles between the ribs, the intercostal muscles, versus the ribs, versus partly to one and partly to the other. There are differences. There are certain cases there where the mechaber is mekel and the ramah is matmeh. Okay. Anyway. Fine. But that's all. So that's a basic introduction to the whole concept of stircha. Okay. Now let's go on with the Gemara. V'amar Rava. So Rava says, here's another din as far as lungs. If you have on the lungs, if you have two blisters next to each other, less lahu b'dikusa, then there's no way to check and make sure that the animal is not trace. You have to consider the animal trace. Now, what's the problem? Rashi, there's three explanations. Rashi explains that the problem is if you have two buoys right next to each other, and by the way, the post can talk about when we say right next to each other, we mean literally right next to, there's very little space between them. The problem is if you have two of them, Rashi says, evidently what it was is there was a puncture in the lung, and the result of that is you had these blisters developed around it. And therefore, it's no good because you have a hole in the lung. You have two other explanations that the Rishonim give. The Rambam says not necessarily is there a hole, but it's highly likely that there's a hole there. And then, the Rashba and the Ran give another reason, which is that if you have two blisters next to each other, what's going to end up happening? The two of them are going to end up rubbing against each other, and then the membranes are going to get punctured. So for all these... Siruchas next to each other is not necessarily an issue unless the siruchas themselves are a problem.
That's much more like the siruchas or something.
No, but one siruchas is not necessarily going to rub against another, but two fluid-filled blisters. Yeah.
Blisters, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So two siruchas next to each other? I don't know. Okay. On the other hand, buoy means blisters, the smichi la'adabi, that are adjacent to each other, less lahubadikul, so there's no way to check them, because either there's a hole there, or it's likely there's a hole, or eventually they're going to cause a hole, whatever, and therefore the animal's trained. On the other hand, chader o mitzchazi katarti, on the other hand, says Rava, what if you have one, it's actually one blister, but it looks like two. So on the outside, it looks like two, but you're not sure. Maybe it's really just one that has like a fissure in it or something. So what do? Mycin and silva, you take a sharp needle or something, or bazinimla, and you puncture one of these blisters. Because ish shakha mahadabi, then we see. If the contents of one spill into the other one, then it's obviously one blister that just looks like two. In other words, if you have exactly what it sounds like, if two blisters, which really, they look like two blisters, but really underneath they might really be one. If it has a fissure in it, it has like a groove in it up above for whatever reason. So therefore, we can test that by puncturing one of them and see if the liquid that's in one of them spills into the other one. If we do, then we know it's actually one blister. Then it's kosher.
Why would puncturing it from the outside spill into the other one?
You have two blisters. Both of them are filled with liquid. So if you puncture one of them and the other one is actually attached to it, then the contents of the one that you didn't puncture will squeeze out, and both of them will come out through the one hole. Yeah. And if not, that means there are actually two blisters. There's actually lung tissue between them, or trefa, and then the animal is trefa.
If it's one, it's not
trefa. Right. One bua by itself is not enough to make the animal trick, right? Okay. Fine. But Omar Rava. Then Rava says, here's another din. We have to understand the basic structure of the lung and then talk about issues with the structure of it. So far we've been talking about cases where it's discolored, where it has blisters, where it has the dry parts or whatever. Now let's talk about the actual structure as a whole. Hey uni isla lorea. The lung has five unos. Five lobes. Now, for that purpose, by the way, we're not counting these two large ones on the bottom, the umos. We're just counting the smaller lobes. Between the two sides.
Right.
So that's what he's going to explain. Apa klape gazra, when you're holding the lung, that the front side of it is facing the person, then you have plus and yamin if it's houting is smaller. Then you have, you'll find that there are three on the right side and two on the left side. So this is, here's a lung over here. Apa klape gadra means that you flip it 180 degrees from the way it looks over here. Well, actually, not necessarily. Yeah. Well, first of all, this is from the front. This is like from underneath the animal, like you would have in the living animal. You'd have the heart somewhere over here in the middle. But also, the point is that usually when you're holding the lung, you're looking at it upside down because the animal is hanging head down. So therefore, you have to flip this. So therefore, let's flip this this picture like this. And therefore, Robert is saying, if you look at the lung like this, as it is, and an animal that's hanging after its chest is, then you'll find there will be three lobes. There are supposed to be two lobes on the. There are supposed to be sloths in the Nineveh couch in the smaller. There are supposed to be three on the right side. One, two, three, and two on the left side. One, two. So therefore, okay, so you have to have that number. Chasir, if any of them are missing, so you have fewer than them. Oy yatir, or if you have extra ones. Oy cholif, or if they're switched around. Trefa, in all those cases, it's trefa. Now, what do we mean? Now, besides that chasir and yatir means the obvious possibility, meaning that you have only four long, or it means you have four lobes, or you have six. There's also, the post can talk about various possibilities. For example, chaser means obviously that they're missing, but another example of it would also be, that Rama points out, each of the lobes has a very characteristic shape. And in fact, the post can give them names. For example, this one over here, on the left side, it is long and thin, it looks like an arrow, and they call it Meshukhakakhet, the one that's long and skinny like an arrow. You have Aruch of Ova, the long, thick one, whatever. So part of the Cholif or part of the Chasir would also be if the shapes of them are interchanged. Each one is supposed to have a characteristic shape.
Each one can look like the other one.
So therefore, if one of them ends up looking like the other one, then you have a problem. It also includes, the post can talk about, what happens, for example, what you can have a case. Now, we say over here, Yasir, Rava is saying if there's extra ones, and today, we're going to talk about that in a second, that not necessarily is that the halacha, but you also have another example of cholif would also be, for example, what if you have the other way around? What if you have three on the left and two on the right? That would also be cholif. That would be switched around, and that would be today. So there's a lot of possibilities of what it means. By the way, and on a deeper level, there's a number that Zoyar talks about in a couple of places, the significance of there being five lobes of the lung, no more, no less. That one thing, actually, we're going to talk later on. We're going to talk soon. There's a one in the middle called the Internista Divarja. We'll get to that soon. But so in one place, the Zoyar talks about a deeper idea behind it, that it represents the five. They represent the five Chumashim. And another place it talks about, they represent the Hei Motsoi Saper, the five places of articulation in the mouth. So you have the letters of the Aleph, so you have guttural letters, and you have letters that are pronounced with the lips and with the tongue and so forth. You have five different places of articulation. So in different places it talks about such ideas. Okay.
There's
some
meaning.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells, there was a case that was brought to Meremer where the animal had an extra lobe in the lung. Have a Yosef Rav Acha above. So now, when they're bringing the case to Meremer to Paskin on it, Rav Acha is sitting outside. Oh, I forgot to mention actually one thing is. So we're gonna talk about now whether extra ones makes it kosher, makes it possible or not. But one thing is also the post can point out. You're always supposed to have, based on what we're saying over here, you're always supposed to have more on the right than on the left. So even if, as the Gemara is going to say, maybe it's kosher with extra lobes. But under certain circumstances, but if you have the same number on both sides, or if you have more on the left than on the right, then it's going to be trade, right?
It's going to be trade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Because it's looking more on the right than on the left. Right. Okay. So Yosef Rav Acha Baba, so Rav Acha was sitting by the door when they brought this case to Morena. So afterwards, when the guy comes out, having asked the Shaila, Omale, he says to the guy, my Omalach, so what did Morena pass get on it? Omale, so the guy tells him, action on yellow, he said the animal's kosher. Because it had extra lobes, but big deal, extra lobes don't necessarily make it straight. Amale, so Rav Acha tells him, no, that's Robert said that, that's the problem. Amale, so Rav Acha tells the guy, no good. Hodir Ayla Kameh, go bring it back to him, he must have made a mistake. Amale, so when the guy brings it back in, Marema realized what's going on over here, the guy himself doesn't know enough of halakhas to be able to go challenge him. Obviously it must be that so you have some Talmud Chacham outside. He says, Zil Amalei Lamandi Yosef Ababa, go tell whoever that is who's sitting outside the door, whichever Talmud Chacham it was that told you to come back, tell him, Les Hilchas HaKavaseh De Rava B'Yisera, the halacha is not like Rava when it comes to extra loads. Extra loads. Rashi explains that Rava would take the view, which we're going to have later on in our Masechta, later on in our Perek, rather, we're going to have a concept called Kol Yeser Kenotu, that in general, if you have an extra one of something, it's considered as if it's missing. So for example, you have, let's say, for example, we talked earlier about the windpipe and about the esophagus. So, for example, one example would be, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if we're going to have later on in our parak, that if the animal has two esophaguses or two windpipes, then it'll be treif. So it's as if both of them are missing, and therefore as if like it has no esophagus or no windpipe. Okay. One idea of it, one physiological idea that the Poroshim talk about it is maybe the idea is that the body has enough capacity, let's say, for example, for one of each of these organs. If it has extra ones, then it means that each one of them is like getting less nurture from the body than it's supposed to, and therefore, yeah. Okay, whatever it is, so Rava is taking the view that extra lobes automatically make the animal treif. So Marema is telling him, no, by the lung, it's not necessarily like that. However, the Gemara says, Vahani mili dekaima bedora deuni. However, that only applies if the extra lobes are in the same row as the other lobes. So, for example, so let's say over here, so you have over here the animal is normally supposed to have again five lobes, one, two, three, four, five. Instead, let's three on the right, two on the left. Instead, let's say you have extra ones over here, all these ones that are shown with dotted lines. Fine, they're bedora deuni. They're all in the same row as the other ones. Therefore, it's kosher. However, if the extra lungs are somewhere in the middle, somewhere not on the in the rows on either side, then it's treif. Now, you actually have some details in this, which because you have so you have Rishonim who understand therefore that okay, the Gemara is saying the halacha is like Maremar, so therefore extra lobes are never a problem as long as they're on the sides of the lungs. On the other hand, you have Rishonim who learn based on the next piece of Gemara over here that it depends. Or in particular that Amar talks about the extra, even if the extra ones are on the side, we have to see when we inflate the lung, are those extra ones pointing towards the back side of the lung or are they pointing towards the front side? If they're pointing towards the front side, fine. But if, even though they're physically located on the side, but if when you inflate it, point towards the back, no good.
Right.
It would be true. Right.
Why is that?
Because the Gemara is going to explain in a second that if you have extra lobes on the back side of the lung, then it's a problem, and that Amar understands it's not that Amar's own chiddush. So it goes back to the Rishonim before him, the Ma'ariv and others. That the problem is that then you have even though the root of it is in the same row as the other ones, but because it points backwards, then it amounts to a lobe on the back. And here, basically, they understand that when the Gemara is saying over here the dora deuni avol beni beni treifa, only if it's in the row of the lungs, but if it's anywhere in between, it's treif. They understand it means not just that the root of it has to be in the same row as the other ones, but that it actually has to, if it's going to be, it has to be facing towards the front rather than towards the back. But that's not all Rishonim agree with that. It's Machlokas Rishonim on that point. So the Mechaber versus the Ramah, among others. Okay. We're talking about extra count. We're talking about extra count.
What about if the normal count is a lobe that for some reason is pointed to the left when you inflate it?
So then that might not to the left but to the back, so that might be it's misshapen. We just said that misshapen ones make a treif anyway, so that might be a different issue, yeah.
No, it doesn't have to be
No, because normally they're all supposed to face either to the sides or to the front. Yeah. Okay. So now there was a case with an animal that had an extra lobe in the middle that was brought before Ravashi. So Ravashi Lamitrafos. Ravashi thought to say that it's straight because he just said that a lobe that's not in the row of the other one and the rows of the other one is straight. However, Amalei Rabhuna Mar Bar Ivya, no, this lobe that you're looking at is a special case of it here. All of the animals that are biryosa have like that. Rashi brings two explanations of what biryosa means. One is it's Meloshin bar, outside, so it means all the animals that graze out in the wild. The other explanation is that biryosa means bria, it means healthy. All the healthy animals have that particular one, a hockey is so. They have this particular lobe. The korolo tabchi inunisa devarda. The butchers, meaning the shochtim, have a name for it. It's called the inunisa devarda. Inunisa means the little una. The little una literally means an ear, by the way, because each of these things is shaped vaguely like an ear. Yeah.
Right.
So the word for them is una. So this is inunisa, the little lobe, the little ear. Devarda, which is like a rose. Because it's vaguely shaped, it's colored and shaped vaguely like a rose. So therefore, yes,
right.
Well, it's red. I mean, the whole lung is reddish, but Yeah, I mean, so that's the idea. In other words, all the other ones are long and skinny, or long and fat, or whatever. This one is like more rounded, sort of. And it is okay. The Prima Gaudium points out that it may actually be slightly redder than the rest of the lung, but whatever it is. Okay. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is it's shaped somewhat like a, it resembles a rose somewhat. The post can point out, it's shaped a little bit of both, really. But the post can also point out, by the way, that it's actually it normally comes inside a little pouch of its own, and therefore, if that pouch is missing, for example, or it doesn't stay in that pouch, then that's a different trait. Anyway, the point is, so Hunamar Bar Ivya is telling Rav Ashi the animal's not shreif because it has this inner nisa divarga. It's a normal thing. Now, the obvious question is, didn't Rav Ashi know that? I mean, Rav Ashi is an expert in halacha, and he doesn't realize. So one possibility actually might be that in Rav Ashi, so Rashi points out, apparently in Rav Ashi's times, most animals did not have this inner nisa divarga. Later on, Nishanu Ativim, and now normally most animals do have it. So Rashi says, okay, so therefore that would mean, so if the animal doesn't have an inner divarga, given that it was the common thing in Rav Ashi's times to not have it, fine, it should be kosher. Okay, nowadays, Nishanu Ativim, and usually they have them. Nevertheless, the lack of it shouldn't make it straight.
Because initially, in
the times of the Gemara, it wasn't that common in the first place. Then Rashi, that's the point of Rashi. I'll tell you in a second what Tosfos says on the subject. Then Rashi also brings up a point, by the way. We said before that if one of the lobes is missing, then the animal is straight. What happens, though, if let's say you have two and two, but then you have, let's say, for example, you have only two on the right side, but you're supposed to have three, but you have the inner nisa divarga is close to that side, so maybe can that one make up? Can that one be considered a third lobe on the right side? So Rashi brings from Shuvas from the Gaonim that say that yes. However, Rashi says I don't really like that idea, because after all, it is to be considered a lobe from the right side, it has to be on the right side. This one is in the middle. How would it work? Yeah, we have a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch whether such a thing works or not. Okay. It's a machlokas sort of shonim. So in general, we would be machmer on it, unless maybe hefsid merubah. Rashi brings up another point, which is also, what if the animal has two inner nisa divarges? So then also, Rashi mentions that there was a machlokas between the gdoyle hadur of Rashi's generation, that he says, my Rebbe didn't tell me what he himself holds. So Rashi is saying if there's none, then it's kosher. If there's one, then it's kosher. If there's two, Rashi says it seems to me it ought to be straight, because it's not normal for there to be two. We just said that an extra lobe in the middle makes it straight. Okay. Fine. So then in that case, so you have one. Okay, in the Gemara's times it wasn't common. Nowadays it is. But if you have two, then you have a real problem. Okay, that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a different understanding of the whole situation, which is that, why did Rav, again, going back to the question, what was Rav Ashi thinking? Didn't he know that animals have an inner divarga? So the answer is, Tosfos says, no, it's the other, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Ephraim the other way around. Of course Rav Ashi knew that an animal has an inner divarga. The case that was brought to him where it was that it had two. And he thought to say, okay, one is normal, two is not, so it should be straight, like Rashi is saying. And Hunamau tells him, no, because certain animals actually normally have two. And therefore it can't be considered a straight. So it comes out, according to Rashi, no inner nisa divarga the animal's kosher. Right. One, it's also kosher. Two, it's treif. According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's exactly the other way around. No inner nisa divarga it's treif, because even in Rav Ashi's times, all of them had. One is okay. Two is also okay, because most animals have one, but some have two.
So when you study a teva, what's the teva that makes it kosher? What's the teva that's not?
So in general, we say we follow we follow the halacha as it's said in the Gemara, but that's the thing. We have Rashi versus Rabbeinu Ephraim have different ways of understanding our Gemara. According to Rashi, Nishtanu Ativim, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, not necessarily. In those days, all of them had one, and some of them had two. As opposed to
Rashi?
Rabbeinu Ephraim is one of the Baalei Atos. So, a generation or two after Rashi. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, the Gemara says, V'hani mili migavoi. Now, all of this only applies if you have this extra lobe, the inner nisa divarga, on the inside, meaning on the side of the lungs that faces the heart and whatever. Avo agaba, but if you find an extra lobe on the back side of the of the lung. A filocarpid ulcer, even if it's just like the size of a Hadas leaf, Schlafer, then it will be Schlafer.
When you say on the side of the heart,
in other words, what you have is like
general side.
No. But in other words, when you look at the lungs over here, in the living animal, you would have someplace in this space in front of the lungs over here, between one side and the other, you would have the heart. Here, it's been removed.
Right.
The back side would be the other side, the one that the side that faces away from the side that faces towards the top of the rib, towards the back of the animal, right. So if you find an extra lobe on that side, then the animal's trace, even if the lobe is only the size of a leaf of haba. Which, by the way, so therefore the Rishonim say, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, if you find a little extra thing there, but it's smaller than a hadas leaf, then it's okay. When the Gemara says afilo kachayper da'asa, it doesn't mean even if it's that small, and then it doesn't mean even it means but yeah, it means even if it's that small, but in other words, but no smaller than that. There are,
for
how big? You have the Mahariv, one of the Mahariv, one of the Talmudim of the Mahariv, wrote. He was a rabbi in a couple of towns in Germany in the 1400s. No, Erfurt was one of them, and I forget where else. Anyway, he wrote a very important kuntres on the halachas of shchita and bedika, which is quoted by all the other later posts. I saw on Wikipedia, it's been reprinted since his times. Like I said, it lived in the 1400s, it's been reprinted like 70 times. It's a classic in Hilchot Shchita, and then Bidissa. Anyway, he explains that he gives two opinions what Tarpa D'Asa is. Either that it's the size of the fingernail on a person's thumb, or that it's the size of the middle joint of the thumb. The phalanx, whatever the term is, the phalanx, the bone. Okay. Anyway, so this thing, by the way, about the size of a hadas leaf comes up in Shulchan Aruch and these halachas for a number of other purposes as well. For example, you have that when you have an extra lobe. But that's the thing. Hadas leaves come in many different sizes, so you need to give a Anyway, the point is there's a number of different other areas where this measurement of katarpa da'asa comes up. For example, we said if you have an extra lobe, the animal might be traced, but only if that extra lobe is at least the size of a hadas leaf. Otherwise not large enough to be called a lobe. You have a case the other way around. You can have a case where two lobes seem to be fused together, like you can't tell a spacing between them. But again, if there's enough of a spacing between them, if there's enough of an invagination between them, the size of an ola shel hadas, then you're okay. But then that's enough. That's enough to mark them off as distinct lobes. All right. Rafram. Now Rafram says, here's another din regarding lungs. Hai reya damya ufsa, a lung that is similar to ufsa, which ufsa means a block of wood. Or the Rambam explains it a little bit differently. That it means a branch of a palm tree. Chreif. Then the animal is chreif. Now, what do we mean? In what way does it resemble a piece of wood or a piece of a palm or a branch of a palm tree? Ika de amri b'chazusa. One version among the Amoraim means the color of it is the color of it it looks like wood. For example, it's white. Whitish. In other words, it's not the normal pinkish color of a lung. It's whitish. All of these things, by the way, this and a number of other things that we're going to talk about soon, as far as colors, the Rishonim point out that, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that really these things, you would have to inflate the lung and rub it a little bit with the hands and see if you still have these things persist. If yeah, then it's straight, if not, then not. Okay. So number one is b'chazusa, that the color of it is like the color of a piece of wood. The ikka d'amri b'gishta, another version is that it means to the touch, like it's hard, like a piece of wood. The ikka d'amri b'nificha, yet another version is that it means that it's swollen. So Rashi understands means that swollen more than normal, in other words.
Like
and therefore,
air inside?
What? well, not necessarily because of extra air per se, it could be because of infection or whatever it is, but whatever it is, Rashi actually understands that the result of it being inflated too much is also that is also that it looks whitish. In other words, Rashi says it's basically the same thing as Chazusa. It's basically the same thing as the version that said that's the color, but here we're saying, in other words, where it looks whitish because it's too puffed up. You have other explanations as well, including that it doesn't matter. It's not so much the color; it's just the fact that it's puffed up more. It's puffed up more than normal, swollen more than normal, right? The ikad amri de pchiza. Another explanation is that saying that it's like wood, meaning that it's pchiza, which there you also have a few explanations of Rishonim. Rashi says it means hard, which would basically be the same thing. We said dishta means that it's hard, so pchiza would be another way of saying the same thing. You have other explanations. For example, Rabbeinu Hanano understands that pchiza means that it's light. It's lighter than normal. Usually, I mean, obviously, it's supposed to be fairly light because it's spongy. It has air. It has air sacs in it. But if it's too light, it means there's something wrong with it. So that's another explanation. The Rambam, by the way, as far as neficha, I forgot to mention that as far as neficha, that's puffed up. There, the Rambam compares it to like the bottom of the branch of a date palm. So like we get the lulavim, but those are the immature middle branch of a palm tree. Afterwards, when they develop and they spread out and whatever, the bottom of them gets very thick. So that's what Amman explains.
The bottom of the branch
becomes very thick, and that's what Amman compares. Nefiha means like that. Okay. The ikadami de pchiza, again, another explanation is that pchiza means hard or extra light. The ikadami de shia, and then there's yet a fifth explanation, that it means that it's smooth, like a piece of wood, meaning the less bachitucha de uni, meaning that it's not divided into lobes. It just looks like one big undifferentiated mass. So because we have all these different explanations in the Gemara of what it means, Damyala Ufta, that we're saying this today, all of these cases, if the lung has any one of these conditions, then we consider it today, because we don't know which one the halacha is like.
So again,
according to Rashi, the definitions are, according to Rashi, it essentially amounts to three things. One where it looks whitish, which normally would be because it's swollen. Another one would be where it's hard, and a third one would be where it's undifferentiated. There's no lobes. According to other Rishonim, you have a couple of other ones as well, including that it looks light, or that it's over, that's swollen, even if it didn't change color, So you have between three and five things that we're talking about here, but all of them are considered shit. Okay. Amar Rava. So that's as far as the shape or the general appearance of the lung. So now Rava says, Kikuch Laksheira, if the lung is the color of koichol, which is something that they used in those days for an eyeshadow, so it's like a dark blue or almost black but not quite black, Sheira, then the animal is still kosher. Kidyusa, but on the other hand, if it looks like ink, which is very black, Trefa, then the animal would be Trefa. And here you have, by the way, we learned yesterday, we had a case involving where there were black dots on the lung, where according to Rashi, it came out, therefore, I mean, Rashi didn't say so explicitly, but this is our Tosfos explains Rashi, that evidently he would say the cases we're talking about in the Gemara over here are only where the whole thing, or a majority of it, is this color. But if it's only a little here or a little there, then apparently it might not necessarily be a problem.
The whole lung
would have to be black or whatever. Not the whole thing, then at least a major portion of it. According to Tosfos over there, there are two possibilities. One may be yes, but the other explanation would be actually that no, even a small area that's black would make it chafe. What we're distinguishing over here between almost black and then jet black, and therefore the Gemara over there would also be talking about where it's not quite black. Okay. Again, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, you would first have to inflate it and then massage it a little bit and see if the color goes away. There is another point actually in this, which I think the Tavur Shor brings up a point. He says if the discoloration is because you have if there's an infection or something on the outside of the lung, and therefore like you see there's pus over there, right, then not necessarily would these changes of color make the animal trace, because the changes of color are more likely to be on the infected area rather than on the actual main body of the lung itself. Okay. So I think he says in those cases, if I remember correctly, what you would have to do is drain out the pus and then see if the, and then see, well, then see what the actual color of the lung is. Okay, fine. What about some other, and now why would it be chase if the lung is black? Because like Rav Chanina says in a different context, shachar odin, when you have something in the body that's black, really it was basically started out as red, el shalaka, but it was locker, it got black, in other words, black started out as red, but then it got affected, locker literally means like it deteriorated, basically.
So we don't make it.
No, that's not the difference. But the point is, in other words, for example, the same way, when you have, the Gemara mentions it in connection with nidah, that one of the colors of blood that makes a woman tummy nidah is black. Because how do you have black blood? It started out as red blood, and then it deteriorated and became black. So here it's the same thing. In other words, that if you have black on the lung, it means that there was red. It means that there was bleeding or something over there, and then the bleeding area deteriorated, and therefore it looks black. So therefore, that would be reason to make it chase. Okay. What about, on the other hand, yeruka? On the other hand, if the lung is yeruka, now yeruka in Gemara terminology, the word yorek in Gemara terminology covers a range of colors. Sometimes in the Gemara it means green.
Yeah.
Sometimes it means yellow. And Tosfos, there's even a Tosfos in Sukkah that discusses the possibility
green.
That maybe it might even be a bluish color.
Bluish.
Yeah. And Tosfos mentions over there because you have a medrash or something that associates the color of the color of the grass, which is yorek, which is the color of the sky. So therefore, it might be different cultures in the world and different languages divide up the color spectrum differently. Everybody can see the same colors, but you have it's a well known thing among linguists. They find that you have some languages that have only words for black, white, and red. Everything else, every other color is. Yeah, I don't remember which languages are which, but whatever. Like you have some that only have four color terms, you have some that only have five, whatever. So different cultures and different languages divide up the color spectrum differently. So in Gemara terminology, yorek means anything from yellow to green, and then possibly some shades of blue. Anyway, so yeruka, if the lung is yeruka, and we're going to define more accurately soon what we mean by yeruka, shera, then the lung is kosher, then the animal is kosher. Why? Mid Rav Nosson. We know that based on what Rav Nosson says in a different context. Aduma Ksheira Mid Rav Nosson. And also, if the lung is red, then also it's kosher on the same basis as what Rav Nosson is going to say, because either Yeruka, as we're going to define it, or red is reversible. The animal can recover from whatever conditions cause these discolorations.
Yeruka.
So we'll see soon what kind of Yeruka is kosher and what isn't, but where do we see? What does Rav Nosson say? Maybe Rav Nosson also based on what Rav Nosson said. D'tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Nosson, one time I went to the cities near the sea. Basa isha achas lefanai, a woman came, a Jewish woman came before me. Shemola b'na rishin v'mes, sheni v'mes. She had made a bris milah for her first son, and he died afterwards. Then she made a bris milah for the second son. Also, he died. Shlishi, have you after lefana? And now the third one, she brought him to me. Like, what should I do? Should I make him a bris milah? What's going on over here? Re'isiv shahaya odon. I saw that this baby was very red. Could be whatever it was. He had some kind of thing. That therefore, if you make a bris milah for him, he's going to bleed out too much. It's dangerous. Billy Reuben was the other way around. That would be if he jaundiced. That's the next day. Yeah. Okay, whatever it is. Yeah, two red would be something else. Yeah. Okay, whatever it is. I said to her, Biki, my daughter, Hamtini loy adshi bola baydomai, wait until his blood is completely absorbed in him. Yeah. Rashi explains, in other words, what it is why is he extra red? There's too much blood between his flesh, between his muscles and his skin, directly under the skin. There's too much blood. Mm-hmm. So if you make him a bris milah at that point, he's going to bleed out too much. So it's dangerous. Wait a while until the blood gets absorbed, until he returns to a normal color. Sure enough, him tinaloi, so and evidently that's what had happened with her first two children, and she didn't know otherwise. Him tinaloi, so she waited, or maloi, so later on she arranged the bris milah. V'choya, and sure enough he survived. V'choya koinos, and nothing above the al-shmi, and Rav Nosson is telling the story. Afterwards, they called this child nothing above the after me, in gratitude that he had saved. V'shuv tam acha, because he told her to wait, because otherwise she wouldn't have known. She would have made a bris milah for him, and he also would have died. Yeah. And this, by the way, is a halacha, that if you have, that if a woman had two children who died from bris milah, rahmah al-islam, then you wait with the third one till he's healthy enough. So he's healthy enough. Yeah.
Because you don't model it at all to them.
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. But no, you can have a case where it's not obvious that there's anything wrong. But nevertheless, the kid dies from a bris milah, rahman al-salam, these things occasionally happen. Right, the moyle is supposed to check them. If the moyle sees there's anything wrong, of course, you absolutely don't do the bris milah. But you can have, nothing seems to be wrong, you do this bris milah, and then he dies. If that happens twice with children of the same mother, then you know there's something hereditary going on over here. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it also mentions by the same token, if you have two sisters who have children, where each one of them had one child and they died from bris milah. Same idea. I mean, in terms of how hemophilia is Yeah, I understand. But the point is, in those times, they couldn't detect hemophilia ahead of time. But the point is that that's one idea, is because hemophilia is inherited through the female line. Okay, anyway. Fine.
So that's why we're talking about this.
So that's why we're talking about, so therefore, okay. Right. Although in Shulchan Aruch does bring opinions that the same thing would apply if two children from the same father died also. Even though, okay, it might not be hemophilia, but there are other things. There might be other sex-linked diseases or whatever that the father might be a carrier of, whatever. Anyway, the point is we see from this story that just because the baby was red, it was reversible. Eventually, the blood will be absorbed, so therefore we would assume the same thing is true with the lung, that even though right now part of it looks red, or maybe even all of it looks red, eventually it's reversible. Eventually the animal will recover. Then Reb Nachman continues, v'shuv pa'am achas halachti l'mdinas kaputkia. Another time I went...
I didn't know it was covered. It often would be killed.
No. Yeah, obviously. You would know that if the animal hadn't been shechted, you would see it. Afterwards, you check the lung, and you find these things. Okay. Then Reb Nosson says, another time I went to the country of Kaputkia. Kaputkia is Cappadocia, it's called in English. It's nowadays part of Turkey. Bosta Ishalafana, again, a Jewish woman came to me. Shemolab Narushin Rames Cheni Rames. She had made a bris milah for her oldest two sons, and they both died. Shlishi have yafel upon it. The third one now, she's bringing him to Reb Nosson to see what's wrong. Re'isiv shahya yoruk. I saw that he was yoruk. Now yoruk for pashtus over here means jaundice. So in that case, over here yoruk would mean yellow.
Hold
on. So I checked him carefully and I found there's not enough blood in him. You can't see. There's like not enough blood under the blood. It shouldn't be directly under the skin like with the first kid. But on the other hand, he has to have enough blood circulating. In this case, he doesn't. He checked and he realized that there maybe pinched him and saw that it doesn't turn red, whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. There's no blood for the bris, which means, therefore, there's actually two problems. Number one, it means he might not survive the bris. But number two, it also means there's not going to be any blood coming out during the bris, and there's supposed to be, it's an essential part of the bris, that there's blood over there. A marty law, so I said to her, Bisi, hamtini loya chiyipo bojamai, wait until his blood falls into him, like in other words, until he gets over the jaundice or whatever it is, until he has a normal circulation of blood. Him tinolo, so she waited. Or molo, he said, then she made a bris milah for him, b'chaya, and he survived. And again, b'chaya korino, it's in nothing above the ashmi, and this child also, they called nothing above the akim. The point is that we see that either a red color or a yellowish color is not enough to say that it'll be fatal. In the case of a baby, they can recover from it, and say therefore the same thing with a lung, the animal could recover from it if it hadn't.
So what does that mean? You don't delay it? It's reddish or...
No. So therefore, the point is, when it comes to a baby, it means you have to wait until it's no longer red or no longer jaundiced. When it comes to the lung, the point is, if you hadn't checked, well, you have no way of knowing what the color of the lung is before you check it. So go ahead and check it. If you find that the lung is red or that it's yoruk, because we're going to define it soon, then it means fine, okay, but it's not trace because the animal, it would have recovered if it had lived longer. The definition of trace, what we said, is it dies within 12 months, you wouldn't have died.
That's an exceptional case, maybe.
No, but the Gemara is drawing an analogy from one to the other.
Same thing by a bris. The eyes are pinkish.
That's true also. In general, if the baby
matter
has...
In fact, I had my son. They had Rabbi Shane here,
uh-huh,
and Moyle, and the doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor said, you can marry him.
Right.
Shane
the halacha.
Said, you can't.
Right, the halacha...
And I waited for Rabbi Shane.
Yeah.
He was mad, the doctor, but I waited for Rabbi Shane.
Right. The halacha is that if the baby has anything wrong with him, then you delay the bris, even if it's, for example, something in the eye, which on the face of it has nothing to do. The moyle checks him, and that's what Yaakov was just saying. That even, for example, a doctor might say, it's no problem, why should an eye condition delay the bris? Nevertheless, the moyle will know that you can't do that. Okay, yeah. If the doctor says you have to delay, obviously.
They were both sitting in front of
it. Yeah, okay, fine.
And they had an argument.
All right, let's go on. Okay. All right. Omer of Kahana. So now Rav Kahana says, let's talk about more dinim, about what the lung looks like, and that might make it treif, or might make it, or it might still be kosher. To kavda ksheira, if the lung looks like the liver of an animal, ksheira, then it's still kosher. Normally they should look like the color of lungs. They should be pinkish. Yeah. If it looks like the color of the liver, which is a darker color, then it's still kosher. Bistra treifa. On the other hand, if it looks like flesh, if it looks like flesh, then it's treifa. So Rashi explains that the Chachamim had the Kabbalah, that if it has the color of liver, that's not a problem. If it's something curable or it's not something fatal or whatever, the lung. But on the other hand, if the lung looks like the color of regular muscle tissue, then it would be a problem. Yeah, then it would be a trick. Actually, by the way, it's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan brings up an interesting point. He says it may not be a difference only of color. It may be a difference of texture. The liver is not fibrous. The liver looks fairly smooth.
Right.
Muscle is fibrous. You can see fibers in it. So therefore, what the Gemara may be distinguishing over here. Muscle fibers, sure.
Oh, muscle.
Muscle, that's what I'm talking about.
Fibers.
Okay, whatever, that's what I meant. So the point is, in other words, you can see fibers in them. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say, we're not just talking a difference of color, because after all, there isn't that much of a difference in color between the liver and the rest of the, and the muscles. The difference rather would be, the texture of it. If it's smooth, or if it looks like it has fibers. And Shulchan Aruch, by the way, mentions a number of these distinctions, a number of these fine distinctions that we're talking about over here. We're not really so expert on being able to tell these distinctions. So, for example, we said before, if it looks whitish like wood, then it's treif. So it means if it's any color similar to whitish and similar to the other one. The simanach, a way to remember the din, which one is kosher, which one is pasul, which one is treif. Remember the pasuk, basa basa da treifa, meat that's treifa in the field. So that helps you remember that if the liver looks like meat, looks like muscles, then it's treifa. Okay. Another basa basa da treifa. In other words, it helps you remember the association between basa and treifa. So therefore, if the lung looks like basa, then it's treifa. Not therefore, but in other words, it helps you remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one. Omer of Sama Brederava, High Rei de Damyaki Kshusa, if the lung looks like Kshus, which means, Rashi says it's green, but not deep green, like grass, but rather like a lighter green, a yellowish green, sort of.
Not emerald green?
No, that grass would be like emerald green. Kshusa means like a light green. Ukamurika, or if it looks like murika, which is saffron, kikshusa. If it looks like kshus, which is kshus is hops. It's a plant they use in making beer. Yeah. So therefore, so it's like a yellowish green or like a light green. So then ukamurika, or if the lung looks like saffron, which is a yellowish reddish color, ukagon beasa. Or if it looks like an egg, treifa. In all those cases, meaning like the yellow of an like the yolk of an egg. In all those cases, treifa. But the question is, because the Chachamim had the Kabbalah, these kinds of things mean that there's something, that there's some kind of fatal condition in the animal. So the question is, Eli Yeruka de Ksheira Hechidamya. Okay, so we said before that Yeruka we said is kosher because of Nothing's story. So the question. What kind of Yeruk are we saying would be kosher? If we've eliminated so far, we said yellowish green is no good, yellowish is no good. So what? The answer is Kikauti. The answer is if it's green like a leek, which is a deep green, then it would be kosher. So light green would be kosher. So first of all, the Rambam points out, and this is a halacha, that as far as the color, we said some colors are kosher, some colors are kosher, some are treif. The Rambam says, even let's say among the kosher colors, let's say the whole lung looks like a patchwork of all those different colors, it's still okay. It doesn't mean, for example, that it has to be, let's say we said one of the okay colors we just said is a deep green. It doesn't mean the whole lung has to be that. Even if one part of it is that and another part is red and another part is a light black, which we said before is kosher and so forth. So then it's fine. It's fine.
If
as long,
one color is
oh, it, no, if, I, no, no, no. If one part of it is, if any part of it is any of the possible colors that we're saying over here, for example, light green or dark black or whatever, then it would be true. But we're saying, if among the kosher colors,
it's an instant change within the kosher colors.
Right, basically, right. The Maharil, by the way, points out you have a simon over here. You have a way of remembering what are the ones, what are the colors that make it what are the colors that make it shreif. There's a pasuk that says kol chelev v'kol dam lo yisei chelev. You're not allowed to eat chelev or blood.
Right.
So chelev, he says, stands for. No, it means you're not allowed to eat any chelev or any dam. Right. So you have among the colors over here. We mentioned that you have. I'm not sure I remember what each of them stands for. But we had over here the lamed stands for lavan. We said white is no good. The beis we said over here is bisra, where it looks like meat, where it looks like muscle tissue. The dalad we said is the dalad is diusa, that it looks like ink. And the mem is murisa, which we said saffron. So that helps you remember that helps you remember the ones that are true. I don't remember what he says the chest stands for. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Omar Ravina. Ravina says here's another gene about the lungs. Autum berea. Suppose you have a part of the lung that seems to be like closed off. Like air isn't getting in there. In modern terms, it might be a condition that sometimes affects part of a lung called apoplexis. I don't know how it's pronounced exactly, whatever. So it could be something like that. Yeah, that's basically, it's like a partial collapse. So it could be that.
Autumn means to collapse?
Autumn means it's closed up. You have a closed up area. Yeah, okay. It means, in other words, there's a closed up area where air doesn't seem to be getting in.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you do? So you have to know, is it kosher or not?
Right.
First of all, my sin and sakin of a karin law. First thing you do, take a knife and cut that area open. You see like this. E isva mugla. If you find that there's pus in there, okay, vade machmas mugluhu, then you know the reason why air is not getting into that part is because it's full of pus. Buksheda, fine, it can be kosher. The fact that you have a part of the lung has pus in it doesn't matter. It's still something curable. Yeah, it's still something curable. The eloi, if you don't find any pus in there, so then it means that maybe the lung itself actually collapsed. So what do? Mosvinan alav gadfa uruka. You put on there a feather or some saliva. Im vastasa, and then you blow it up. Im vastasa. If the feather moves or the saliva bubbles,
then you know that it's
good. Yeah, kshera. Then it's kosher because air is getting into that area. So this is the opposite of the usual checking of a lung is the other way around. You want to make sure that the air isn't coming out. Here you want to make sure that air is coming into this area. The loy trefa, and if not, then it's trefa. Okay. Omer of Yosef. So now more dinim.
You do it with air. You don't do it with water.
In this case, you don't do it with water, right? Because you want to see whether air is going to get in there. So you need something over there that's going to move if you blow air in there. If you have a membrane, that a scar that forms on the lung as a result of a wound,
right.
Then it's not considered a valid close because, as Rashi says, it's eventually going to come off again. And therefore, in fact, Rashi says that's the whole reason behind Sirchus being traced in the first place. But according to Rashi, they are. Remember, according to Rashi, there was a hole there, and then there was a hole, and then it got... Yeah, the point is, a hole is a hole. As far as halacha is concerned, it doesn't matter what maka doesn't necessarily mean that there was trauma. It just means there was a hole there, and afterwards crossed it over.
Krum
is a membrane, like a scar, that forms over a puncture. Rabbi Yosef is telling us it doesn't count. We had a similar thing before a few blocks ago. We had that concept about the vesht, about the esophagus.
Right.
Most of the Rishonim understand that it's not just by those two; it applies by all the internal organs,
right.
Whichever one that a puncture would make them chase. Then the fact that it healed over is no good. You have the Ravan, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who holds that not. It's only in these two cases does it apply, but not all the other ones. Okay. Anyway. The Amr of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says another din, which this we learned before, the Gemara is just mentioning together a number of all the various dinim about the lungs together. Hai Reya de Avsha, if when you inflate the lung you hear a noise from it. Iya din and Hecha Avsha, if you can tell where the noise is coming from, then you can check there whether it's punctured. Madchinen ala gadfa igila iruka, put on there a feather or straw or some saliva. And if it bubbles or if it moves, then trefa, because it means air is leaking out. The loik shera, and if not, then it's kosher. The e loyad inema, if you don't know where the noise is coming from, so you can't do that test. Maisim Shikusa de Maya Pshuri. You take a basin or a pitcher or whatever, a container full of Mishikula or Mishikula we had before, whatever. It means a basin or a jug or whatever. Yeah, receptacle. De Maya Pshuri of warm water, lukewarm water, or Misvin and Lava Gaba, and you put the lung inside it. Now, we interject, but Hamimi Loi, you don't put it in hot water. De Kavsi, because that'll make the lung tissue, that'll make the hole shrink. And you may not find it afterwards. The Kriri Lo, you don't want to put it in cold water, the Matoshi, because that will harden the outer surface of the lung, and then when you inflate it, it might pop. You'd think it had a hole when really it didn't. Elabad Kinilab Shuri, that's why you have to check it dafka with warm water. Then you blow it up, imabasa such a but if air escapes and therefore the water bubbles and it's safe, the iloi kshera, and if not, then it's kosher, because then we know tata intib ilala intib, then we know that only the lower layer, the outside of the air sacs of the alveoli, has gotten punctured in some place. Ilala intib, but the outer layer, the pleura, has not gotten punctured. The high da'avsha, and therefore the reason it's making noise. When you inflate it, zika de benio benio, because you have air going between the two layers. But that's not enough to make a check.
You need
both layers to be functional, we said before. Okay, fine. Alma Ola Amar Rav Yechanan, another din, Ola says in the name of Rav Yechanan, Reya Shenishpacha Kekitain, if the lung can be poured out like a pitcher of water, meaning in other words, Rashi described that you have the actual substance of the lung, the actual tissue of the lung has liquefied, I guess, because of infection or whatever, and therefore, like in the krum, the outer layer is still intact, but like you can pour the contents of the outer layer, meaning the pleura, I guess, it's still intact.
It's called
a krum, yeah. Krum just means like a membrane. It means a membrane. Yeah. So you have within that krum, or even actually says krum mim, both layers, both outer layers, let's say, are intact. But you still have whatever's inside of that is liquefied, and it can be poured around as if it was liquid in a container.
That's what we have to figure out.
Sheva. Ula is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the animal is still kosher. As long as the outer membranes are intact, we're going to see soon that there is a detail about that. But for the moment, we're saying that it is kosher. As long as the outer layers are intact, then we're okay.
Right.
Alma kasaver, evidently that means that Ula and Rabbi Yechanan hold chisarin mibifnim lo shmei chisarin. We said in the Mishnah that if part of the lung is missing, then the animal is traced. That's why we said before, if lobes are missing or whatever. Evidently, though, Ula, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, holds that if there's something missing from the inside, then it's not a problem. Because here, when the whole thing liquefied, before it was all full, so before the lung tissue filled up the krumim, so nothing was moving around. Now it's able to slosh around, so obviously something's missing from the inside.
Right.
Nevertheless, apparently they hold, it's not a problem. So, Eisveir of Abba L'Ula, so Rav Abba asks Ula, how can you say that? We learned in our Mishnah, Harei Shenikva Oishachosko. We said if the lung is punctured or something is missing. My Chaseira. Now, what does the Mishnah mean? What is missing? Ilema Machos, do you mean something is missing from the outside? Can't. Hainu Nikva, that's effectively the same thing as it being punctured. Punctured means that some part of it is missing. Obviously, the chaseira of our Mishnah must mean that something is missing on the inside of the lung.
Right.
So therefore, that would show that makes it today poser. What are you telling me? That even though apparently some of the tissue is missing, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to slosh it around, then, yeah. Yeah.
So what's the mifnim is what?
The mifnim, inside the lung. It sounds like a Rav Abba is also doing a tribute to it, yeah.
Before, we said that when the two membranes
are intact. So that's the thing. Ula is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that it's still kosher, even though the whole inside is liquefied. But Rav Abba is telling him, doesn't that amount to chaseira?
Yeah.
The answer is no. The word chaseira can still mean that it's missing from the outside, that you can see there's something visibly missing on the outside. Or de ka'amr tainu nikra. Now you're arguing missing is the same thing effectively as punctured. No. No, because the point that the Mishnah is saying, chaseira, would be only appointed of Shim. Rav Shimon in our Mishnah had been more lenient than the Tanakhama. He said not just any puncture makes the lung trace. He said only if the puncture reaches all the way to the symponus, all the way to the large bronchi in the lung. So therefore,
symponus
means the bronchi, yeah. And in particular, we said the other day that basis and tonus actually means the main bronchus in each lung.
So the rib shimonis
thing, that the hole would have to be fairly deep into the lung to make the animal trach. So therefore, So we'd have to go all the way to the main bronchus as opposed to the panacana.
The main bronchus is...
Of each lung.
Yes, the one this is the main bronchus, isn't it?
No, not the windpipe. We're talking about the windpipe divide. So therefore, so even Reb Shimon would say, though, we could argue like this. Reb Shimon would say, if there's a hole where no actual lung tissue is missing, you just have, let's say, a needle pierced it or whatever, but no actual lung tissue has been removed, that's when he says you need a fairly deep hole. But when there's a hole where some actual lung tissue is missing, you could argue, then Reb Shimon would agree that it's straight, even if it didn't reach the symponus, because of chaseva. In other words, Ula is arguing, when the Mishnah says if part of the lung is missing, the Tanakhama wouldn't need that. The Tanakhama would say any hole, as long as it's through both membranes, is enough to make the animal trace. So therefore, according to him, there's no case where something is missing and it would be a separate category.
Right.
But according to Reb Shimon, you have two categories. One where there's a hole with nothing missing, where it has to be till the basis and pointus, and the other one where there's a hole with something missing, where it would be tricked. Right. So over here. So therefore, Ola says, though, the point is, neither opinion necessarily has to say that if there's something missing from the inside of the lung, that it should make the animal trick. Neither the Tanakhama nor Reb Shimon apparently holds that Reb Shimon would say there's a difference between Chaseira on the outside and not. The Chachamim are saying it doesn't really matter because any kind of hole makes it chase regardless. But as far as Chaseira from the inside, like we're talking about over here, that just some of the inner substance of the lung is missing, that you should say that it's Chaseira, says Ola, not necessarily. Okay, so we'll stop over here because it's might of time, but it's interesting to point out that Tosfos mentioned, what about if you have on the outside of the lung, you have like an area, like you have like a fold inward. It looks like the lung is a little bit misshapen over there, as if like a chunk was taken out of it. But everything is actually intact. The membranes are intact, everything. So Tosfos says some people wanted to argue it's safe, because apparently it's a chisorin. The Riva, one of the Balei HaTosfos, tells them no, because the fact that the Gemara mentioned over here that the only case of chisorin with the lung that would be possible is a puncture according to Reb Shimon. Therefore Tosfos says no, it doesn't matter. It may look like there's something missing, but there's no actual substance missing. As long as you can blow it up and it inflates, then it's good. However, though, that Amar brings, that there's a minhag to differentiate with that, depends on the shape of the thing that seems to be missing. That Amar compares it to whether it looks like a final chaf or like a regular chaf. If this thing is like a final chaf, in other words, it looks like there's an area missing, but it's not actually missing because the membranes are intact, then fine. But if you have like a it looks like a chunk was taken out, then you might have a problem.
From the main lobe, from whatever it is,
wherever you might find that I'm all right. That if you find anywhere on it what Tosfos is describing over here, that you have an area where it looks like a chunk has been taken out, even though no chunk is actually missing because all the alveoli and the membrane and the pleura and whatever are still intact. Nevertheless, the fact that you have this cuff-shaped thing, in other words, a bite, so to speak, into the surface of the lung would be a problem. That would be a problem, says Rama. Only if it's like a chop focus, only if it's like... Because it looks like something is missing, even though nothing is actually missing.
Even though it's not missing.
As opposed to, if it's like a chop surface, it's like a straight cut off, then fine, then it's okay.
So if it's round...
Yeah, so in other words, if this is the surface of the lung over here, and you have at some point on the surface, you have something like this, then it would be no good. But if you have it at some point, because it looks like something is missing. Tosfos is saying over here that shouldn't be a problem, but nevertheless that Amar brings from earlier posts he met
it.
If it's straight like this, so yeah, then it would just be let's say like this, then it's fine. Yeah.